This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing. You know, you and I deal with the, you know, the internet warriors. Everyone's a tough guy on Twitter. But actually manifesting it into reality, you know, that's become a lot more normalized. Of course it was real. Like, you weren't allowed to say that. And I, you know, you and me and others, we got, you know, thrown off of social media for a time being for saying, like, of course it started at the place that studies the exact virus in question and grounds it. Like, where else would it have started? It's America. Stranger things have happened. If you would have asked me this 12 years ago about Trump, we'd have probably laughed about that too.
I say, even though he's the craziest candidate you've ever seen here in the state of Texas, I think Texans need to be careful.
So let's talk about the speech, but more specifically, let's talk about interference in our elections. The 2020 election seemed dirty to any normal person who was observing it. Dirty in what ways? I mean, we didn't know at first, but it certainly didn't seem like it was on the up and up, did it? Do you remember back in February when John Solomon came on the show and he said this?
The FBI discovered that China had sent tens of thousands of driver's licenses to Chicago O'Hare Airport in August of 2020 in a plot to help Joe Biden get more votes counted in absentee ballots. They were fake driver's licenses. They were going to go to some destination, probably a voter mill or a voter registration mill, to create that. That is something that you're not going to read in the New York Times or Washington Post, but those documents are now in public. I know from my reporting, we're going to learn of a series of other massive intrusions that have put many state databases at risk and for which the United States government has been silent for the last 5 years. I think when we get those data points, we're going to know a little bit more about just how active our government has been in knowledge and how little they've actually told even the states and all of us in the American public. And I think these new details, these new intercepts, the new intrusions that have been detected are likely to raise the question that these foreign actors are working with operatives, Americans on the ground in America, to try to achieve these plans. Whether they've succeeded, still to be determined. But the idea that a foreign power is working with Americans to create some sort of intervention in our election should scare all of us. Doesn't matter your political stripe.
Scares me. He joined us again in March. Said this.
What Chris Wray didn't tell you during that testimony is his agency knew, the Homeland Security Department knew, the CIA knew, the NSA knew, the Office of Director of National Intelligence all knew in the spring of 2020 that China had hacked into some of our voter registration databases. Multiple states, they had obtained a voter data registration and were planning to use it to measure public sentiment. You realize that China obtained large numbers of voter registration data of Americans. Why is that significant? Well, one, once a foreign power has such data, they can do two things. They can do exactly what Chris Wray was describing there, and that is to do malign influence operations on social media, or they could also start to file paper ballot requests and file votes in the names of other people. It's a very real fear. So in the spring, they learn that the voter registration data has been compromised by China. In the summer, they learned that China had sent some driver's licenses to the United States in a scheme, according to the FBI's own documents, its own informant in China, that was designed to put the requests in for fake ballots and to help Joe Biden win the 2020 election. Chris Wray knew all those things. He decided to tell Congress only about the things involving Russia, because Russia was the preferred narrative of elitists.
He also said this in that same interview.
How far did the deep state go to make sure I didn't know until today?
They went really far. I'm going to have a new story tomorrow morning. I think you'll enjoy it, because it takes the intelligence community ombudsman. It's a person that we don't think of very much. He's a person that's supposed to represent the public's interest in the intelligence community. Alphabet soup. Most people have never heard of the guy. He took a look at this, and you know what he found? he found that the intelligence community wanted to accentuate Russia, because that was the preferred narrative. But when they found the same evidence of China meddling, China intrusions, China breaches, they downplayed it because they didn't want Donald Trump to have a narrative against China. If you remember where we were in 2020, we were dealing with the COVID pandemic. Donald Trump thought China was behind it. He turned out to be right. The intelligence community wanted to silence him on that issue, and they were willing to go as far as to keep from the American public and Congress evidence of China's intrusions into our voter databases just to stymie Donald Trump. That's what the intelligence committee's ombudsman ultimately found.
Okay. We're going to go talk to Donald Trump Jr. in a couple minutes, but this is so gigantic. I'm not sure I can properly express to you how big of a deal it is. It looks like that election that we all questioned, it looks like China hacked into voter databases, obviously in mostly blue areas, and it looks like potentially they printed gobs of mail-in ballots with the voter data they just hacked into, filled them out for Joe Biden, and turned them in. So China hawk Trump would lose his reelection bid, and China puppet Joe Biden will become president of the United States of America. I don't have any other way to put it than that. That's how it looks. Wars have started for less than this. It's not that I want to go to war. I'm not calling for that, but this is the biggest deal in the world. I look forward to tearing through all this stuff. Anyway, let's go talk to Don Jr. about assassination attempts and all kinds of other things. Before we talk to Don Jr., let me talk to you about what you're going to need in the times to come. You're going to need energy. You're going to need to be in a very good mood. You're going to need to come home from work and want to go for a walk, go out dancing, not put your comfy clothes on and plop down in the couch. Do you want to be full of energy again? You can have these things with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Chalk, the hardcore anti-communists at Chalk, this is what they do. They make natural herbal supplements for everybody, men, women, young, old, whatever you're looking for. Every man should be on a male vitality stack from Chalk. Clinically tested, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Go get a subscription. Start now. You're going to love yourself for it. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. You know something I don't like about myself, and I know why I do this, but I try to ignore the fact that we're going to have someone else on our side, possibly someone I know or you know, be killed. It's going to happen again. Hopefully not for years, but it's going to happen again. You know it is, and I try not to dwell on it because it sickens me where we've come as a country because these communists are just so inherently violent. DOJ just announced Don Jr., this poor freaking guy, someone wanted to kill him, too. This family has really been through hell. Joining me now, Donald Trump Jr., host of Triggered with Don Jr. Don, I don't even know what to say, brother. I mean, every time we talk, you're either being arrested.
That was a hot opening, Jesse. You know, I wasn't even expecting that one. But, yeah, You know, it's a little bit nuts because you're right. It happens, you know, a lot more than that's actually made public. And, you know, I deal with it with, you know, my kids and stalkers and myself with stalkers, obviously, you know, two people trying to actually kill my father. And as close as I was with Charlie Kirk, having sat in the trial, you know, for that last week. It's very real. And we have to think about these things. It's, you know, I guess I'm blessed to be able to put it in the back of our mind, but it's a very real threat and something that's happening far too often.
Don, obviously, presidents are always going to feel death threats. That's just kind of the nature of the business. But it feels so much more widespread now. Ivanka, everyone knows about that. You, as you mentioned, your poor freaking kids who just want to live a normal life. When did you notice this spreading? Was it right when your dad came down the escalator? Or is this just getting worse in the past few years?
Well, it's definitely gotten worse in the past few years. I think, you know, people have sort of gotten, you know, to the point where they've gotten comfortable normalizing that kind of behavior. I mean, it was definitely present in, you know, in 16 and whatnot. I think, you know, for me, you know, I know according to my Secret Service at the time, they were telling me, you know, I was the number two most threatened person in the government, even though I wasn't in government, but under, you know, under their protection after my father, you know, so it's been real for a long time, but the manifestation of actually doing it, you know, there's one thing, you know, you and I deal with the, you know, the internet warriors. Everyone's a tough guy on Twitter, but actually manifesting it into reality, you know, that's become a lot more normalized over the last few years, and it's happening. I mean, we've witnessed it over the last 2 years. We're what, you know, 2 year anniversary just this weekend of, you know, the first assassination attempt on my father. In September, we're approaching the 1 year on them actually killing, you know, our good friend Charlie Kirk. You know, it's sick behavior. It's disgusting. It comes from the side that preaches tolerance that, you know, turns out to not be so tolerant, you know, as we've all seen. And it's just a really scary thing for our country, for the Republic, you know, for a civilized world, and frankly, any world.
Let's change and talk about something positive, a convention. Why do we have a convention? I know we have a midterm coming up. Obviously, everybody knows the party in power loses seats in the midterms. That's the conventional political thought. We really don't want to lose the House and then watch your dad be impeached every week and never get anything done. But yeah. a convention, what's this about?
Listen, I think the idea of it's probably, and I haven't really been, you know, all that involved in it. I'll be, you know, get very, you know, spooled up for midterms. But, you know, I think the idea is to really talk about all of the accomplishments that tend to go lost in the noise, right? The media hasn't really changed in the last few years. You know, you still have all that bias. They'll talk about all of the negative. They'll talk about the things that, you know, annoy a group or maybe that's clickworthy, but they won't talk about a lot of the wins, whether it be, you know, on the border, whether it be for the inward investment, whether it be for the manufacturing base that's coming back to America, you know, jobs and all these kinds of things. So I think it's going to be important to just highlight so much of what's gone on in the last, you know, let's call it 2 years, that is really missing from the media, because you see all these things, you know, I talk about them on my show, you talk about, but regular people may not even notice some of those things. And I think they're so fundamentally important, because what my father and this administration, I think, have really been doing is playing a long-term game, right? They're not going for, hey, here's a quick win, here's what it is, and we'll talk about it. These are things that are generational shifters, you know, being able to shut down the border, being able to create inward investment. You know, you build a factory, you start building it last year. Well, it could take 3-4 years to actually materialize, to then create the jobs, to then create, you know, that work output. You know, these are things that people don't notice right away. And you got to highlight that you're not just doing the instant gratification for a midterm cycle. You're doing these for, you know, generational change for America, you know, shoring up our supply chains, bringing back American manufacturing, creating the hegemony that we've squandered for so long in so many of things, whether it's, you know, through tech, whether it's, you know, biotech and pharma, you know, having those things, you know, made in America is so fundamentally critical. So there's so many of these things that have happened that, you know, I hear about it, I read about it, and then, you know, something happens in Iran, and that's the story for 2 weeks. And they drop this news, you know, the things that they changed with, you know, Bobby Kennedy and Maha, the crackdown on all the fraud, the literally billions of dollars of fraud. Like, you see this big announcement, and then 5 minutes later, you know, someone dropped a bomb somewhere, and we're not going to talk about these other wins. You know, they're all important, but I think some of the messaging certainly gets lost in the noise.
I love the fraud stuff, Don, and I've been pretty loud.
The fraud
about
thing's
the
my
fact.
Favorite I, thing in the world, because it is too. Just. It, you know, when those people get held accountable, just what it stops in the future, the moral hazard that it creates, that people just aren't even going to try these things because they understand that someone's actually going to hold them to account. I mean, this is hundreds of billions of dollars. When you think of what that money could be used for and spent, you know, whether it's in our infrastructure, our education system, it is so big, and that it went just unchecked across the board, you know, red states too, for so long. It is just mind-blowing that no one even bothered to look into it, let alone actually do something about it, and then let alone hold people accountable. So, you know, watching what, you know, J.D. Vance is doing, you know, leading that up, you know, Oz on the health front with Bobby Kennedy, you know, cracking down on just the travesty of justice that has happened for so long, is, you know, that's about as MAGA as it gets to me.
It is, and Don, it's hard not to look at, especially the blue states. I know it goes on in red states. The fraud that we're discovering in places like Minnesota and California and New York and these places, it's hard to come to any other conclusion, Don, than Democrat politicians are clearly complicit in all this. I saw a headline yesterday, New York AG Letitia James, of course, your favorite. She prosecutes fraud way less than anyone else. That's not an accident, obviously. She knows who's committing it.
It's like, remember, this was going to be... this was going to be the summer of riots again. And it's amazing, amazing that once USAID funding all these NGOs that kick these monies back to these organizations, once they stopped having money to do that, the riots just never seemed to materialize, Jesse. It's almost as though, Jesse, don't call me crazy. It's almost as though this money was being funneled back into these radical left-wing causes to create strife. And when it goes away, wow, they just don't materialize. Just like, wow, in Latin America, places that, you know, believe in religion and family and have work ethics, like all these elections are going to right-wing politicians these days when they don't have $1 billion bolstering the BS of, you know, transgenderism in Latin America and the virtues of, you know, all the insanity. That money gets stripped away and all of a sudden people start voting conservatively. Huh? It's as though there was a foot on the scale, Jesse. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe. And this is another one of those things that I really try to not let my mind wander too much on this, Don, because it can't be explained any other way. USAID stops and right winger after right winger after right winger gets elected. So if I dwell on this, it tells me that I've been going to work for my entire adult life and the government's stolen 25% to 30% of my money and used it to fund communism all across the globe. How am I supposed to take it any other way, Don?
No, it's like Wuhan lab leak theory. Like, there is no other plausible answer, right? Of course it was real. Like, you weren't allowed to say that. And I, you know, you and me and others, we got, you know, thrown off of social media for a time being for saying, like, of course it started at the place that studies the exact virus in question and grounds. Like, where else would it have started? Like, this is exactly the same thing. And, you know, we were always wondering, you know, what good does it do for America to send, you know, $10 million on, you know, circumcision procedures in Mozambique? Like, do you think it was really going for that? Or do you think there had maybe, you know, I don't know, a nefarious, you know, cause behind it? Of course it was, but all of these people were on the dole. They were all on the payroll. These people are former government officials that then go make a lot of money at these NGOs. And they know exactly how to funnel this money back to the causes that keeps them in power, keeps them relevant, keeps, you know, problems in existence that could be solved in 30 seconds so that they justify their excessive salaries under the guise of doing good. It's disgusting. And of course, that's what it was. I mean, you don't even see the left fighting back about it anymore because it's so obvious. They'll just come up with their next grift.
Don, final one for me. I don't know who the nominee in 2028 is going to be. JD, a lot of people like Marco. And if that, I don't care. We can hash all that stuff out at another time. But how concerned do you think our nominee should be about Hunter Biden making a run at this thing?
I don't know. I wouldn't be too worried about it. I wouldn't be all that worried about it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Listen, it's America. Stranger things have happened. If you would have asked me this 12 years ago about Trump, we'd have probably laughed about that, too. So, you know, I guess you never know. But I imagine that ain't happening.
I would imagine so. Don, be safe, my man. I appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, Jesse. Good talking to you.
All right. You know what I cannot stand? Look, I know I'm going to be the old angry man now, and I know I'm going to be the ugly American. When I have to pick up my phone and I have to call customer service with anybody, doesn't matter what it is, and I am routed to some customer service call center in the Philippines or India or anywhere else, and I have to deal with somebody who doesn't speak freaking English. I cannot stand it. And it's almost every business, it seems like, but it's not Pure Talk, you see. Pure Talk, the veteran-led company, you know, guy who runs Pure Talk did two tours in Vietnam. They're so patriotic, they hire Americans. American jobs for an American company, same 5G network, you probably save a fortune. There's no reason not to switch. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Senator, you've received almost $700,000 from the illegal labor lobby. Is that why you voted against the Save America Act?
Can you tell me who the illegal labor lobby is?
Yes, it's contractors, general contractors, hospitality companies, industries, construction companies and
how
industries.
How do you know about the Save America? Which Save America Act are you talking about?
The one that you voted against, sir.
Okay. And so you're asking me if I voted, I was against it because...
You're receiving almost $700,000 from these lobbyists.
Do you have any idea what a remarkably silly question that is?
I think it's a pretty important one. I think your constituents want to know why you're betraying them.
Some math. Do you know what my election cycle, the total all-in election cycle cost was in 2020? It's $300 million. Do you honestly believe that I would make a policy decision based on that?
I don't know why you're betraying your constituents.
Who do you work for?
I'm independent.
Okay.
Why are you betraying your constituents?
Good luck on the clicks.
Why are you betraying your constituents, Senator?
Good luck on the clicks.
We just want secure elections, Senator. You're preventing us from getting that. You're betraying America.
Good luck on your job.
Good luck on yours.
He's about to be out of a job. It's wild to me because I've known Sarah Gonzalez a long time, and she's, you know, talking to the camera. And she's now this investigative journalist just bird-dogging people out there, and it's wonderful to watch. Joining me now, Sarah Gonzalez, host of Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Sarah, I really don't like Tom Tillis. Tell me about this illegal foreign labor lobby.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Jesse. And might I just say, I think I've discovered my new passion, my new hobby, my new project, just like going out there and confronting these awful people to their faces. They don't get it enough. They don't get the pushback enough. So the illegal labor lobby is simply all of these industries, all of these lobbyist organizations that benefit from this cheap foreign labor. So you're talking construction companies, you're talking agricultural industry, you're talking senior care, hospitality, things of that nature, general contractors associations. All of these industries benefit from bringing in illegals, benefit from undercutting the American worker, benefit from cheap foreign labor. And you have to ask yourself, as a conservative, here's this list of 11 Republican senators that are receiving, I mean, John Thune, the most, $1.5 million, all the way down to Dan Sullivan at $277,000. But there are several, John Cornyn, Mitch McConnell, they are in the millions, $1.3 and $1.2 million that they are receiving from all of these lobbyists. And so when you start seeing the money that's coming into these campaigns, and you start looking at their voting records, you start to wonder, who are you beholden to? The American citizen, the American people, or these lobbyists that are benefiting from this cheap illegal labor? I'm just saying, I don't think it's a coincidence that these people are voting for America Last policy and are voting against securing our elections and proving that you are a citizen of this country and you are eligible to vote before you pull that lever. I just think it's very interesting, Jesse. And it starts to make sense why these people are voting the way that they are.
Sarah, I don't want to get too stuck in the weeds here, but you mentioned senior care, and this is just an issue that I'm extremely passionate about. Just that there's so many crooks in this industry. There's so many seniors who are abused in the senior care industry. They use foreigners?
Yeah, they do. Well, yes, they do, because the fact of the matter is, if you can find someone at cheaper cost, you have all of these companies that have decided to do so, to profit off of this cheap labor. So you're talking, you know, hospice care, you're talking some of these workers that you don't necessarily have to have any sort of medical background, medical knowledge, but you are kind of a glorified babysitter for some of these elderly people. So they are bringing in and importing all of these illegal immigrants, and they are assigning them these low-level jobs. And no disrespect to the people who work in senior care. I think there are a lot of nurses and there are a lot of people who are very good to our senior citizen population. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of companies, there are a lot of companies and lobbyist organizations that simply have profited off of bringing in the illegals. And senior care is one of them, unfortunately.
Speaking of the low-T GOP, Todd Blanche is, Trump wants him to be AG now, and John freaking Cornyn had this to say.
Todd Blanche, to satisfy your concerns about the weaponization fund?
Well, basically confirm that it's not dead. It can't be changed without written consent of the parties. According to the settlement agreement, there is no written consent of the parties, and he agreed that it could be enforced as a matter of contract.
Does that concern you?
Yeah, I continue to have some concerns, but I'm not going to make any decisions at this point. I'm going to wait until we actually vote on the confirmation in a week or so.
So you're truly undecided right now?
Yeah.
So I went on to ask him about what would it take for him to get to yes, and he was less than clear about that. He said he had additional questions that had to be asked and was truly uncertain about how to proceed here.
Sarah, it's pretty obvious by this point that these senators who hate Trump and are on the way out, McConnell, if he even has a brain left, Tillis, Cassidy, Cornyn, it's obvious they're going to act like petty little teenage girls on the way out the door and just kneecap everything they can out of pure spite.
Yeah, well, I remember 5 minutes ago when John Cornyn was running ads in the state of Texas before he lost in the primary, stating that he was like 99% stands with President Trump. And we all knew that that was bogus. We all knew that it wasn't true. He acted like he was besties with President Trump just to win the election. And when that didn't work, he is, of course, back to his America Last policy. He's not even trying to hide it anymore because he doesn't have anything to lose. He already lost it. So, yes, you have these people. They are broken by President Trump. They are, even though they have an R in front of their names, they are stage five terminal cases of TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, and they will do every single thing that they can to screw this country over on their way out. And that is why you see John Cornyn trying to block President Trump's nomination, and that is why you see John Cornyn trying to block President Trump securing the elections. These are basic things that you should be doing to serve your constituents, and the fact that John Cornyn is upset about the weaponization fund, I think, tells you all that you need to know about how he really feels about the American population.
Sarah, let's shift our focus to the Senate race, an important one in Texas between Ken Paxton and Bottom. And here was Bottom and what he had to say.
I'm always so thrilled when I get invited, you know, to the Diwali Festival. I think I've gone 2 years in a row now. And have gotten the chance to speak at some of our local mosques. And I find such wisdom and comfort and inspiration from faith traditions all over the world. And I find that they're all kind of equal pathways to truth. You know, that's how I think, you know, I always think of all of the world's faith traditions as like a circle with, you know, that divine mystery of the universe in the middle. And we all have different names for that mystery, right? Whether it's God or Yahweh or Allah or Nirvana, the Great Spirit, whatever you call it, this is all, you know, different pathways to the same kind of fundamental truth of reality. So yeah, it's something I try to stay grounded and stay rooted.
Ah, the Great Spirit, Sarah, that should play well in Texas.
Yeah, this guy is totally insane. I mean, he's a worse candidate than Beto O'Rourke. He's a gayer candidate than Beto O'Rourke, too, which it really says something, because Beto O'Rourke was a terrible candidate. Somehow they were like, who can we pick that's worse? I know, a power bottom James Tallarico. And so you look at all of the crazy stuff that he's saying. And of course, I think everyone else is laughing. All the other states are laughing at us going, yeah, right. James Tallarico doesn't stand a chance. I beg to differ. I say, even though he's the craziest candidate you've ever seen here in the state of Texas, I think Texans need to be careful. I think it is not representative of Texas. You and I both know that. Like, we listen to the crazy stuff he says and we're like, okay, this is not representative of the average Texan. But we've got to vote, because in the primary, back in March, more Democrats showed up in the Democrat primary than Republicans did in the Republican primary. So we just have to make sure that we all go out there and vote and make sure that the state of Texas knows we do not want him to represent us. We do not want this crazy rhetoric to represent us. We know that Jesus is not non-binary and that Mary didn't, you know, abortion is not a thing in the Bible. And I think he said something about, Mary consented to, you know, having Jesus, and just all of this crazy stuff. We know that that's crazy and doesn't represent us, but it's just going to depend on who shows up at the ballot box. So I would just encourage everyone in the state of Texas, within the sound of our voices, don't say my neighbor's going to vote so I don't have to. Don't say, you know, oh, it's fine because my husband voted so I don't have to. We need everyone to show up, because can you imagine how crazy it's going to get if we sleep on this and James Tallarico is a Texas senator? I mean, I can't even imagine it. It's unfathomable.
I don't even want to think about it. Sarah, get out of here. Appreciate you. All right. It's time to talk China and election interference with Stephen Mosier. He's always so good on that. Before we talk about China, I want to talk to you about high interest credit card debt. Do you have it? Doesn't it suck? Are you carrying 20% on something? 25, 30? It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And it feels like a mountain that you can't possibly climb. It feels like swimming against the ocean. I understand that. But do you have a mortgage? American Financing. Here's what they can do. They can get you up that mountain. They can carve a path forward for you so that one day you can be free of it. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Imagine being free of it. What if you could be debt-free? Go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse and go let them help you. We'll be back. I don't want to be hyperbolic. You know, I don't do that really on the show unless I'm bragging about myself. But the idea that China worked to install Joe Biden and possibly did so with the cooperation, maybe, of American intelligence agencies, it really would be the biggest scandal in American history. I don't think I'm being over the top when I say that, but I don't want to overstate it either. I bet you Stephen Mosier knows all the ins and outs of this stuff. Joining me now, Stephen W. Mosier, president of the Population Research Institute. Okay, Stephen, am I being over the top? Please slap me in the face if you have to.
Well, no, I don't think you are. I think we're going to find out some really explosive information about what really happened in the months leading up to 2020. And, you know, I think a lot of the information that was coming out in 2020 before the election was hidden by the CIA, by the intelligence agencies from Donald Trump. But you will remember that he tweeted out on June 22nd of 2020, I've got it right here. He said, quote, rigged 2020 election. Millions of mail-in ballots will be printed by foreign countries and others. It will be the scandal of our times. And explicitly including in remarks at the time, China, and saying they could print counterfeit ballots using similar paper machines and mail them in undetected. He said this in press conferences and interviews. And of course, it was dismissed. But it made perfect sense to me at the time, Jesse, because Joe Biden was China's guy. Does anyone remember Bohai Harvest, the great investment opportunity that was given to Hunter Biden to own a large chunk of a major Chinese investment company, a chunk worth a couple of $100 million? Does anyone remember the other payments that were made to Hunter Biden, the trips to China on Air Force One? Biden was their guy from the beginning. The Chinese paid for Biden's time at the University of Pennsylvania. They paid for the Biden Center there. It made no sense to me that they didn't go all out through their influence operations to support Biden. And we know they've got massive numbers of front groups in the United States. They've got business associations. They've got their diaspora groups. They got social media. They got cyber operations, contributions to favorite candidates. But I think this is much more explosive. And I think that what Trump was able to glean in 2020, even though the intelligence agencies were hiding information from him, was that there was a massive effort going on to take advantage of the mail-in ballot situation, especially where the rules have been relaxed in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. And then what happened in January? What happened in January was the FBI raid on Fulton County, Georgia, where we now have had access to 6 months to the election materials, including the original ballots. It would be very interesting to see if those original ballots showed signs of being printed in a foreign country like China, perhaps because they had bamboo fibers in them. You know, the pulp plants in China don't use wood. In many cases, they use bamboo. So you can trace that in the paper that's used to manufacture ballots, books, and everything else printed that comes from China. So I'm just delighted to finally find out what was in those suitcases that were pulled out from under the table in Fulton County after the election monitors went home after that famous leak in the voting county center there in that county. Those ballots should be very, very interesting.
Stephen, the complicity of the intelligence agencies is something that, honestly, it probably worries me more than the freaking Chinese. But we like to imagine that organizations like the CIA, they're combating China everywhere they possibly can and all these other things. But the idea that they would possibly work with them in some form in order to make sure a Democrat could be installed, how bad are things?
Well, remember back in 2021, after Biden was installed in the presidency, we had all of these reviews of the election, and we had the FBI and the CIA saying, no, there was no China interference in the election. And then they very cleverly said, a minority of us think that there was minor influence operations, but it wasn't important. It didn't influence the election. That was so over the top, clearly, to me, wrong. that I sensed a cover-up going on even then. But you're absolutely right. The idea that the FBI, the CIA, the Director of National Intelligence, all of these people are supposed to be guarding our frontiers, guarding our democracy, who've taken oaths of loyalty to the Constitution, would cover up foreign interference to this level because they wanted to install Biden is shocking beyond belief. And I mean, you know, you can look forward and you can look backward, right? You can look forward and say, well, we need to correct this for the future. We need the SAVE Act. We need to end the mail-in ballot scam. And you can look backward and say, we need to bring people to justice who did this. But this is going to crush faith in our democracy, I think, not just at home, but abroad. Think about the damage to U.S. credibility abroad, where allies now question the country that is supposed to be the democratic standard for the rest of the world, the country whose constitution has been the model for over 100 constitutions of other countries. For us to let this to happen is just shameful for all Americans.
Stephen, Xi Jinping, how is his hold on power currently? Because it seems like he's been flirting with disaster for a few years now, trying to take out this rival, trying to do that, does he have things clamped down or is he in trouble?
Well, he took out his last major rival, Jesse, during the last party Congress, when he had in front of the assembled delegates of the Chinese Communist Party, he had the former president of the country physically removed from the dais. It was an incredible thing to watch. It's on video. Hu Jintao, former president, usually you treat them with respect, is taken away by the chief of Xi Jinping's security right in the middle of the proceedings because Hu Jintao has just discovered that his people, who were supposed to be put on the Politburo, the Standing Committee of the Chinese Communist Party, were not there. That Xi Jinping had replaced all of his people with Xi's own people. Anyway, so no more rivals within the party that are open. The military, of course, has been purged with the members of the Central Military Commission. I think there are only two members of the 9-member commission left standing because all the others have been purged, including the ones that Xi Jinping himself appointed. He has removed dozens of generals. They've got the Chinese Communist Party's surveillance group, the political commissars in the military are working overtime to quell any dissent in the military. So yeah, on the one hand, you can say he senses dissension everywhere. He senses unrest. He's afraid of a coup. And so he's removing all these people. Maybe he's just becoming a paranoid schizophrenic the way some of these leaders do late in life when they begin to lose their compass mentis. On the other hand, you can say that he's anticipating the emergence of rivals or the emergence of coup and taking proactive steps to stop them. As long as his health remains good, and there have been some questions about that, I think Xi may be in place for a few years to come.
Is he killing Christians? I hear stories about 10,000 Christians. What's happening in China?
What's happening in China is that the Chinese Communist Party and its leaders want to co-opt and control and compromise every possible source of opposition, including the Christian community, Catholics and Protestants, especially targeting the underground church, those people who don't want to register with the government and don't want to be constantly monitored and surveilled by the government, who don't want to swear oaths of allegiance to the Chinese Communist Party. They don't want to be forced to join the Catholic Patriotic Church or the Protestant Three-Self Church movement. These people are being persecuted by communists who are atheists at heart. Xi Jinping, basically his motto is "Thou shalt have no gods before me." He wants to turn the churches into places that promote the party, promote the party line, promote socialism with Chinese characteristics, which is the official ideology, and promote Xi Jinping himself. This is written in party documents, Jesse, in 2020, again in 2022. It's been reinforced again and again and again. And any religious group that does not agree to serve the party, does not agree to promote the party line and promote the party leaders, is illegitimate and will be crushed. That is also in the party documents, and that's what's happening right now. The crushing is happening in real time with the arrest of members of the underground church throughout China. There are a lot of them. We've got well over 100 million Christians in China. We may have more Christians in China than members of the Chinese Communist Party. Certainly, we have more believing Christians in China than we have believing members of the Chinese Communist Party, in the sense of believing in the fantasy that one day the government is going to fade away and everyone will be equal. And so the Chinese Communist Party sees Christians as a threat and has been moving against them even more vigorously year after year as we get into, what are we now, in the 14th year of Xi Jinping's rule in China.
Stephen, as always, thank you for your wisdom. I appreciate it. There's something about being a Democrat that makes you fart and poop your pants. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I don't know whether the farting and pooping becomes normal after you become a Democrat, or maybe you become a Democrat because you were farting and pooping. I can't make these connections for you. I'm not a doctor. What I do know is now we have on camera so many times where they're doing this, and it's beyond explanation. So we thought, just in the interest of doing good journalism, it would be helpful to do the top five times we've seen this. Let's go with the most obvious one. Number five, Eric Swalwell. I mean, this wasn't just a little silent but deadly one either. Just uncorked one right on cable news. Here it was.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from... The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
He even did the thing. It's undeniable. You think that's the worst one? John Kerry did it on the world stage.
I find myself getting more and more militant because I do not understand how adults who are in position of responsibility can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
You saw the lady beside him. She heard it. You heard it. Feel bad for her. She had to smell it. Oh, there's more.
And as I'm walking to the press room, I think I got to pass a little gas here. So I'm walking by myself. Who's going to know? Only a little something extra came out.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
I hope Al Roker doesn't feel like he's alone. Jerry Nadler on camera. Look, we don't have to get into the nitty gritty here, if you'll pardon the pun, but this was very clearly not a case of a little something came out. Jerry Nadler made a mess.
On this subject, not part of this package, but part of preserving our democracy. With that, I'm pleased to yield the decision.
You know, that was a mess. And finally, look, it just keeps going and going. Chuck Schumer recently, it's just a couple days ago, on the Senate floor, unleashed one.
And we need a complete investigation that's independent. Now on Iran and the NDAA. When all the Trump administration, the NDAA. The NDAA.
He thought that one was going to be quiet, you could tell. It wasn't. We heard it. We'll stay on this for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
I would thank you for coming to my YouTube channel, but I know how brilliant it is, and I know you love it here. So subscribe and watch. We're going to start really ramping things up and putting some funny stuff, some interesting stuff out there, some collaborations. Either way, my YouTube channel is officially the place to be. So stick around.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.